And as we were considering this topic, we noticed in the dawn the theme text. Let not your hearts be troubled. And it reminded us that these were the words of our Lord who opened this way for us. And he went on, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Yes, he opened the narrow way for us. Some this morning have started their walk in this narrow way as they symbolize their consecration. They have stepped onto the narrow road. Some of us have walked it for many years. So we thought we would find where this way started and what is at the end of it for us. Remembering that our Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you. As we go back to the beginning of creation, we find that Adam was cast out at the very gates of Eden upon a broad road. And this road is a very, very old way. Old road. Because Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. Man has walked this way for many years. And he'll walk this way during the millennium, during the 1,000 years. And at the end, we're told, all that continue to walk this way will be cut off. But we're really happy that there's another way that is open and it leads to life. The narrow way. What is required to walk this way? And what is at the end of it for us? First, we might want to find how we get on this way. We understand the scriptures use the thoughts of highways and broad ways and narrow ways merely as illustrations. So in keeping with this pictorial language, I think we could say that the narrow way of this age branches off of the broad way. Because at one time, we all walked the broad way. We were born upon it. Yes, the narrow way and the highway of the millennial age are branch roads. And even a little more than this, they branch off and they become return roads. Return roads to life. Let's read Jeremiah, the 6th chapter. Starting with the 16th verse. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Verse 17, also I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my laws, but rejected it. Here we find this was the last call to Israel. Israel was asked to turn around. It was a call to repentance. And Israel, we remember briefly as we look back, were God's chosen people. They were sent the laws, the prophets. They had the great leader Moses. They were favored. They were for a while lifted off the broad way. But now they walk, as does all mankind, in the valley of the shadow of death. Isaiah says, Isaiah 30 verse 21, thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. The word behind us, of course, is the word of God. We have heard this word. We have heard his call. And this is why we're here this week. We follow the old paths. Remember Jeremiah 6 verse 16 said, ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. But Israel said, we will not walk therein. They forgot their Messiah. He came to his own, and his own received him not. We keep him in memory. We celebrate the memorial of his death. We walk in his ways. They do not. The dictionary says to walk is to step rightly, placing one foot in front of the other. Yes, we can't go to the right or to the left. We must go forward in faith, looking up to God. Proverbs 12, verse 31 reads, in the way of righteousness is life, and in the path thereof is no death. What pathway is this? Matthew 7, 14 tells us, says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life. But few there be that find it. When did this way open? We think it officially opened at Pentecost. Matthew said, straight is the gate. So we might ask, what is the gate? The gate is the entrance into this narrow way. And the gate represents full consecration, as our candidates this morning had given prior to their symbolizing here. The gate is full consecration of all we have. It means we put all up on the altar of sacrifice. Jesus went this way. He opened this gate. He opened the way that branched off of the broad road. He opened the narrow way. John 14 verse 6, a scripture we all know very well. Here Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Hebrews 3 1 reads, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, And 2 Timothy 1 verse 9 reads, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And in Hebrews 10 verses 19 and 20, we find that Paul knew the way that he was walking. And he said to the Hebrews and to us these words, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. What is it that makes this narrow way so narrow and difficult? It's because it is a way of sacrifice. But why should those who serve and follow the Lord now be required to do so under such difficult circumstances? Well, we find in God's balance of justice and love, the difference is determined by the rewards at the end of the way. And the narrow way leads to what the Scriptures describe as glory, honor, and immortality. The Apostle Paul says, the true followers of Jesus rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. This is Romans 5, verse 2. Immortality is the highest form of life. Peter in 2 Peter 1, verse 4 calls it the divine nature. And Paul says in Romans 6, verse 8, if we die with him, we shall live with him. If we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. We remember that Jesus overcame the world. And it was a perfect overcoming, full and complete. We being imperfect in the flesh cannot do perfectly. The law showed this back in Israel's day. Therefore, by the grace of God, it has been so arranged that we can be accepted through Jesus. Sounds almost too good to be true. But if we have the Spirit to overcome, if we have the desire in our hearts to overcome, at the moment we take the step of consecration and are accepted, we will have all of our blemishes and imperfections covered by the robe of Christ's righteousness, and will need to be covered from that time on. We can't get our robe spotted. We can't turn back. The way is too narrow. We must go forward in faith. There's many pictures given of the Heavenly Father, and they represent him as clothed. Revelations pictures our Lord and the saints as clothed in white garments. The angels who appeared at the time of our Lord's resurrection were clothed in white. And our Lord said, blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. So the overcomers, the glorified church, is represented not as ever taking off the robe of righteousness, but continuing to walk from this life on beyond the veil in white raiment. Beyond the veil, it will no longer be an imputed robe of righteousness. There it will be our own righteousness. To be clothed in white there in heaven will bring recognition that we have overcome and are in white, the pure, the heavenly realm. Revelations tells us much about this. We'll have a little bit later on this. When this comes, 2 Peter 1 verse 10 will have taken place. We will have made our calling and election sure. In 1 Corinthians 15, 42 through 43, the scriptures tell us it is sown in incorruption, it is raised in corruption, incorruptible. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. And these are sure promises for those who walk the narrow way. So the little flock of overcomers from this world will now have had their part in the first resurrection. And we think it has started. And the end of the narrow way is close. Ye shall be mine in that day when I make up my jewels. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. And Revelations 2 verse 7 reads, and Brother George quoted this morning, I will give you to eat of the hidden manna. We won't go into this. Brother George told us how it was placed in the ark. John 4:32 elaborates upon this a little. But this manna, we know, is heavenly manna. And as scripture continues, and this was Saturday's text, and I will give thee a white stone, and in that stone, a new name written. The name of the bridegroom. From henceforth, to be the bride's name also. And today we know a bride takes the name of the bridegroom. And the scriptures tell us this is a name which no man knoweth. They don't know why we walk this way either. But here the bride is pictured in white raiment and receives a white stone. This is a precious token of love, of purity. Not a black stone as the judges would give in the types when one was found guilty or unworthy. But it was a white stone, given to the overcomers. And as scripture said, this is Revelations 3 verse 5. We'll quote only part of this now. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. We know there are two books of life. One open at the present time, and another applies to the millennial age. The special book of life that is open at this time is one in which all the overcomers, the names of all the overcomers of this gospel age are written. And this is recorded in Revelations 21 verse 27. When we take the step of consecration and are begotten of the Holy Spirit, we are reckoned as belonging to the family of God. And just as a family will keep a record of its members, Joseph, Mary, Martha, Lois, Eunice, Timothy, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, so with those who become members of the family of God during this gospel age, through Christ, their names will be recorded. And I think this recording has been going on in a grand way throughout this present age, one here and one there. This means that those whose names are written are not only members of the family of God, but are also members of this bride class. In order to keep our names there, we must be overcomers. 2 Peter, we might read this, the first chapter, verses 10 through 12. Reads, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." So an entrance, it reads. 12 says, "Therefore I will not neglect to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in present truth." So the bride class is referred to as more than conquerors, and they will have an abundant entrance into the heavenly kingdom. Revelation 3, verse 5, that we didn't quote all of, continued, "And I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels." And this gives us the thought that although we've been begotten of God, we have never been in his actual presence. We've never been introduced to him. Our Lord is not only represented as our bridegroom, but also as our elder brother. Our Lord being the one that the Father delegated the work to of instructing us in the school of Christ. Remember, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And we have been following this way. But now we're at the end of it. And it's appropriate, as the scripture said, that he should introduce us to the Father. How precious are these wonderful promises. They're truly heavenly promises. When we view them in the light of the new dispensation, the overcomers, when introduced by the Lord, the bridegroom, will certainly have joy in their hearts when they first hear the Master's welcome. "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And then will follow the welcome of all the glorified members of the anointed body, from the first stage of the church at Ephesus to the Lacedaemonian period that we're in. All in every generation have had dear ones that have gone on before us, and we'll meet them there. There was singing by the angels when Jesus was born here upon the earth, and we read that there's joy in heaven when with one sinner that repenteth. And I'm sure there'll be much singing in heaven and many notes raised very high when the church has finished her earthly course and entered into her reward. Then there will be a marriage. This was mentioned before about the pageantry of a marriage here on earth. But this will take place in heaven. And her heavenly Father will perform the service. In Revelation 14, we read that there will be singing. We're privileged individually to sing that new song here now, This Side the Veil. But there in Revelation 14, we won't have time to go into it, but it pictures it all together. They'll sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. Then there'll be the marriage supper. Then the glad tidings will spread to the earth through the established phase of the kingdom. And then, dear brethren, the door to the narrow way will be closed, never to open again. And the scriptures tell us, then a highway will be there. I feel all here have come in through the gate of sacrifice. We are all walking in that narrow way. We have listened to the word behind us. We have not cut that scarlet thread that binds us together. We have faith, and faith has no horizons. It looks beyond life and earth and on through the corridor of time and on into eternity. The truth has made an indelible impression upon us. And our Father planned it all. And we'd like to close with this little poem. And it's entitled, Our Father Planned It All. I'll sing through shade and sunshine, and trust whatever befalls. His way is best. It leads to rest. My Father planned it all. The sun may shine tomorrow, the shadows break and flee. 'Twill be the way He chooses, the Father's plans for me. He'll guide my haltering footsteps along the narrow way, for well He knows the pathway will lead to endless days. A day of light and gladness on which no shade will fall. 'Tis this at last awaits us. Our Father planned it all. May the Lord add His blessing.